Good morning. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. As Christians, we light the Advent wreath to remind us that we wait for Christ's light to be born into the world. The wreath is in the shape of a circle, and it reminds us of God's love for us, never ending. Today, we are lighting the candle of peace. We remember that Jesus brings a promise of peace, peace in our hearts, peace between families, peace between friends, peace between nations, peace between human beings and all of creation. Let us quiet our hearts and minds. Close your eyes or focus on the candle. Notice your breathing. Be aware of your breath as it enters and leaves your body. As you breathe in, say to yourself, Jesus. As you breathe out, send your peace. Jesus, help your light to shine in us as peace. Hope is a candle, a light in the window, showing the way for our heart to come home. Hope is a Savior who is born in a manger, sent down from heaven to rescue the hearts. Let us pray together. Let your light shine in our world as we wait through the Advent season for the baby Jesus' birth. Let your ribbon of peace draw us together into a circle of love where the Christ was born today. Amen.
Well, good morning, friends. Last year on this Sunday, the first Sunday in December, the church building was filled with excitement because we were having breakfast with Santa, and the Christmas carols were playing, and the cupcakes were being decorated and eaten, might I add. There was crafts and there was face painting, and yes, there was that visit from Santa. Well, this morning I am missing that piece that has been part of our Christmas experience the last few years. I'm even missing sitting on Santa's knee. Can you even imagine that? But you know what? We still celebrate. We can remember and we can look back at memories of years gone by. And so I invite you today as we worship in this space together, as normally on this Sunday we would all wear our Christmas t-shirts, our Santa hats, our elf shoes, whatever it was we had to just kind of get into the festive spirit. And so this morning as you sit back with your cuppa, maybe you want to dig out that ugly Christmas sweater and put on, or maybe you're still in your Christmas pajamas. But wherever you find yourself today, may you be blessed as you worship, and may you just simply relax and enjoy and just think about this Christmas memory as we share it with you today.
Hallelujah! The scriptures remind us today, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Thank you. 'Twas the night before Christmas, my watch I did keep. Not a creature was stirring, not one little sheep. They had just settled down for a long winter's nap, and I had a little lamb asleep on my lap. Suddenly a great sound filled the night sky. There were thousands of angels singing praises on high. I awoke all my friends so they could now see what this blessed night was coming to be. An angel looked down and made it quite clear that indeed on this night we had nothing to fear. He said, "My dear friends, you have nothing to lose, for I am now bringing you some really great news." The angel did say in the town so forlorn that Jesus the Christ child, our Savior, was born. I said to my friends as I laid my lamb down, "Come, let us go to that Bethlehem town." So we left our hillside, the Savior to seek, and we came to a stable ever so bleak. The scene was filled with a heavenly light, for my Savior was born on that holy night. There was Mommy and Dad midst the straw and the hay, and in a wood manger the sweet baby lay. What a feeling I had as I looked at the child, sleeping so soundly, so meek, and so mild. I knew in an instant that God did love me, for He sent His Son to die on a tree. Did you ever know that I knelt at His cross? I accepted His gift, and He forgave all my dross. So if you're wondering this Christmas what you should give, give Him your heart, then you'll know how to live. For His blood is now flowing, it's full and it's free. My friend, He'll forgive you, for He forgave me.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen Him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Well, good morning, my friends. Today is the second Sunday in Advent, and we're looking at the subject of peace. Peace that passes all understanding, the Prince of Peace. And this is the Peace Sunday. We're going to be looking at the shepherds, and we've just heard from Donette as she read the beautiful portion of Scripture from Luke, the shepherd's story. And we're going to be looking at that this morning. But first, the people of Finland take Christmas and peace very seriously. There is actually a declaration that is read out the day before Christmas. And it says this: Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas and a peaceful Christmas time to all. By advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall be found guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. Wow, the Finns really take Christmas seriously. You don't mess with the Finns' Christmas. Now, this past week, we've discovered Advent. We've discovered the hope of our first Advent. And we're looking at now the peace of the second Advent. We look at the shepherds, and Donette shared with us the beautiful story from Luke, and we remember the Charlie Brown Christmas, and we hear in our mind right now the speech of Linus when he discovers and he talks to Charlie Brown about the true meaning of Christmas, and he recites that passage from Luke. We look also at different biblical characters in the Christmas story, seeing how they encountered the arrival of Jesus into our world. When we think of peace embodied in the Christmas story, we can't help but think about the shepherds. They were the unlikely recipients of the gospel story, of that first Christmas gospel story, the good news. We remember that Linus, of course, shared that from Luke. That's the true meaning of Christmas, Charlie Brown. Wow. There's so much in these few paragraphs of scripture from the Gospel of Luke. To begin like this is like God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce a long-awaited event that happened in such an unexpected way. Suddenly, in the middle of a dark and ordinary night in the Bethlehem countryside, out on the hill, an angel appears in the sky and is joined by a sky full of angels. The New Living Translation calls them the armies of heaven. Wow. It's hard to imagine just how magnificent and how bright and terrifying and glorious a sight that must have been. Make no wonder the shepherds were terrified. Of course, the audience for this grand announcement and amazing angelic show must have been the most important VIPs. The high priests, the members of government, right? Well, no. You know the story. It's those shepherds. Those completely ordinary, average Joe night shift working shepherds with dirt underneath their fingernails. Everyday blue collar workers. Just like you and just like me. Ordinary guys. God is perfectly flipping the script on what we humans would expect and plan and do if it were up to us to save the world. But the whole experience certainly leaves us asking, why shepherds? Why these completely unexpecting and unassuming guys, those ordinary guys? Why? Because basically, the shepherds actually tie many biblical threads together. First, the shepherd reminds us that the patriarchs of the Bible and of Israel were shepherds, nomadic animal tenders, roaming ranchers of the ancient world. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and beyond. David's greatest king, Israel's greatest king, was first a shepherd. But the shepherds were the everyman. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement, no pride, no arrogance, no religious bloating. They fit right into the process of introducing God's Messiah, Jesus Christ. A humble carpenter and a peasant girl as parents for the Son of God. A birth in a lowly stable, surrounded by animals, rough and rugged shepherds out in the fields on the edge of the more refined civilization. These were the have-nots. These were the examples of God's raising and using the humble and turning the world as we know it on its head. These, and those considered by society to be the most holy, weren't given a place at the stable to kneel on the most holy of holy ground. These shepherds also signify Jesus' future ministry and teaching. You see, sheep might have been lowly animals, but they were the very special animals in Jewish culture. The Passover lamb was the sacrifice an ancient Jew would make during the most important holiday, and its blood was the atonement for a person's sins. Are you getting those threads connecting here now? The cost was blood that had to be paid to restore a person in favor with God. Each time it was done, this sacrifice was a reminder of the original Passover, that God's rescue and exodus of his people from Egypt. You and I know that Jesus was entering into our world to fulfill his identity as the perfect Lamb of God. The perfect Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, your sin, my sin. He was the ultimate sacrifice and payment for that sin. His death did away with the need for sacrificial lambs. His resurrection made it possible for us to be fully restored in our relationship with God. His life made it possible to experience true peace. And here we are on this Advent Sunday of peace. Shalom in the Hebrew language and culture, the word and concept that encapsulate the completeness and wholeness of God's original creation. Well, where do we find peace? Well, you know, you can have peace in the midst of your storm. So I sometimes sing as my favorite song, little Hannah, our granddaughter, says, it's Poppy's song, Poppy's song. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. You can have peace in your storm. What are you facing? What storms of life now are you facing in this day and age of COVID-19? You can have peace. You can have peace. It rains. It blows in the midst of a hurricane storm. But Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace and stretches forth his arm and says, peace, be still. And the winds die down and the rains start to trickle away and it gets calm. Peace, be still, Jesus says. Be still and know that I am God. He is your peace. How is your Christmas season going in COVID? Got all your Christmas gifts done? Got all the wrapping finished? Donette was wrapping gifts the other day and was all spread out and putting up the Christmas tree. And not only that, but we have to look after the food bank. And there's so much stuff going on. And you've got to pivot on a dime these days in COVID-19. You've got to be flexible enough to meet the need. And sometimes the peace can get diminished. But we have to remind ourselves every day I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. And that's where God comes in. Peace defies our circumstances. Man said one time, how are you doing, to his friend? And he said, okay, under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? Get out from under the circumstances and praise the Lord. Give thanks for what you got, and you will know peace. That's great for you to say. It sounds nice, you might be thinking, but you don't know how much it hurts, Ken. You don't know how much it hurts. No, I'm sorry, I don't, but I can only imagine how awful it could be and how awful it may be for you. But let me encourage you that there is a peace that is deeper than your hurt. There is a peace that will defy your present circumstances. No, in the face of all that you are feeling and all that you're going through, God's peace just doesn't make sense. But it is real. The peace that passes all understanding. And it is healing. And it is available. Paul describes the process this way. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, hallelujah, there it is, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. That is the peace that passes all understanding. Let me encourage you with that today. No matter what we are facing, God's peace is available. No matter how you are hurting, God's peace is available for you. In every situation, that Paul says. Now, peace, of course, is a person. It comes back to that. Jesus was born as the Prince of Peace. Long before his arrival on earth, the prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace. It says this in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. Hallelujah. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He has come to give you peace, whatever you are facing. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your weary soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If that's not an offer of peace, I don't know what is. In this second week of Advent, let me encourage you to look to the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow and the storms whirl about you, let me encourage us all to come to him and worship him like the shepherds of old. Even when we find ourselves in the very darkness in the middle of the storm, let me remind us to come to him, because he is here. The Prince of Peace is here right now with us. Do you know him? I would love to invite you to seek him today as your Prince of Peace. May God bless you.